As a difficult session nears its scheduled completion, I want to thank the legislators for their hard work and express the hope that only a few more days of effort remain. I'm as eager as all the members I talk to that the session end on time. Special sessions were once common, but despite annual predictions, Indiana has not needed one during the last 4 years. One way a governor can help prevent a special session is to avoid surprises by being very clear about what is and is not acceptable. And another is to be reasonable and flexible about the details. Speaker Bauer said to me this week, and I agree, there are really just two items that must be achieved before adjournment. One's a fair overhaul of our state's out-of-balance UI system. The other is a budget that protects vital services and taxpayers both now and in the future. As of now, neither the House nor the Senate proposals meet that test. I am not finding fault or criticizing anyone. It's just that both budgets were built on revenue assumptions that turned out to be way off. To illustrate, the shortfall just partway through April is already larger than the Senate budget assumes all the way through the end of June. A budget that ignores reality will spend money we won't have, quickly devour our rainy day funds, and force tax increases and massive service cutbacks like those going on now in other states. With $4 billion of federal stimulus dollars added in, Indiana will see record public spending the next 2 years under any state budget. Let's work together to see that Hoosier workers and taxpayers are protected during this cycle and beyond.
Is this a veto threat?
I don't talk in those terms. You guys sometimes put those words in my mouth. What I'm saying here is the last thing that I want to see, and I think the last thing most legislators want to see, is an extended session. I don't see any reason for it, but we do have to face reality. It's no one's fault upstairs that revenues are far short of what were originally projected or even projected recently. Now, just to illustrate, we've been talking about the cliff. The green line is the revenue forecast that was just received this month. Accepting that forecast as to the future, correcting only for real revenues. Coming in right now, actual dollars we can count, there's no debate about them. It produces a line that looks like this. So even if they are right about future growth, and I hope they are, we have a gap to fill. This is spending just on the Senate proposal. I don't have a big enough chart to capture the House spending. And we have a gap to close unless we want to force Hoosiers into tax increases, and that's the one thing we will not agree to.
Governor, you say that you mentioned the budget and also the UI system. I take it most of the statement is on the budget. Could be UI proposals that have been tossed out? Do any of those meet your parameters?
Yeah, the Senate wrote an excellent bill. It's balanced. It requires contributions from each side, and very importantly, it redresses the unfairness between big and small business. We've had two big problems in the UI system that was created 8 years ago, which has been leaking money even in good times, as you know. One is that it has low premiums and very high benefits, the third most generous in America, which we really cannot afford. The second is it's unfair between big business and small. Frankly, big business and labor got together 8 years ago and wrote a bill that left out the other 90% of Indiana workers. And therefore, the mom-and-pop store, the dentist office, the small insurance agency that rarely lay anybody off have been paying an unfair share. I thought the Senate did a great job of addressing both problems, but compromises can happen from there. My sense is the legislators are working very seriously. I'm hearing positive things from both sides about progress on UI. I think it really needs to happen, but when the speaker said there are two things of statewide importance that must happen, I thought he's zoomed in on the problem issues very well.
Can you address the letter from the Colts yesterday that many people have found arrogant?
I'm sorry, Norm?
Can you address that letter from the Colts yesterday that many people have found arrogant?
I'll let everybody read that letter for themselves. I would just say, as I've said before, that when circumstances change, you have to make adjustments. It's true of budgets. It's certainly true of issues like the CIB. And I just hope all parties will take a constructive role. Everyone is going to have to play a role, just as in budgeting, just as in unemployment insurance, for that matter. I say all parties, and that certainly includes both teams.
Could you be specific about what spending in the budget that they have in there that you want them to cut back?
When I say that, another way I hope to help, in addition to being very open and clear, is by being flexible. I really mean that. And so I am focused almost solely on protecting taxpayers by avoiding this cliff and by avoiding the burning through of our reserves, forcing a tax increase probably before we know it. And therefore, I'm not laying down any do's or don'ts about how we close that gap. I want to be as flexible as I can. If that means that certain things that I believe are high priorities have to take some reduction, then that'd be fair.
Governor, how would you describe the leadership with respect to the CIP issue? The mayor, senators, city council, lawmakers, it seems that nobody wants to suffer any pain. The council said they don't want a tax. Folks outside of Marin County don't want the alcohol tax, even though they would benefit. Nobody wants to step up and do anything. You feel like I have to start playing GPS here and giving people direction
on
where they need to go and what they need to do?
Actually, I think Senator Kenley's on the right track to give Marion County a very large toolbox, more than is necessary, and then let the people here decide which of those tools to use to address this problem. There should be higher premiums. You have an insurance plan where the premiums don't cover the claims. And I think there has to be some give from both ends. We have the third most generous system in the country. It's frankly more than our economy can and our workers who can afford. And but on the other end, I think some increase in the premiums, which are still low compared to most states, it also has to be a part of an answer. We have the third most generous benefits in America. We don't have the third richest economy in America. And if you try to do this in a totally one-sided way, you will kill jobs in this state. And by the way, piling higher and higher premiums on the businesses just comes ultimately out of the workers' paycheck. So this has to be a mutual process from both ends, and I think in the end it will be. The state won records last year, two national records, as the finest child protection system in the country. It's a miraculous, worst to first job that they have done over there. You're chasing perfection, and there are still tragic problems that happen, every one of them breaks our heart. But there is absolutely no question that Indiana has been testified to by HHS, the Annie Casey Foundation, the authority on this, Indiana has made the most dramatic improvement and gone right to the top in terms of the national system for protecting children. And all I can say about it isn't good enough. We will never stop, because as long as there's a single child at risk, there's got to be something more we can do to improve. I'm going to stand on the statement. A special session is the last thing I want to see, and I'm eager to avoid it. And I don't think it's necessary. I'm going to be as flexible, as I say, about details as I possibly can be. Try to be as helpful. I've given the legislators some, I hope, constructive suggestions about a way forward. They did not create this problem. But they have to be partners in addressing it, and we have to look reality in the face. If we pretend that we will have revenues beyond what is clear we'll have, then we will not have done our duty, and we will have done a real injustice to Indiana taxpayers.
Is any cliff unacceptable, or is it, if it gets smaller, is that something you can live with?
If it can get small enough that we could plausibly address it come 11, you know, I wouldn't say it's got to go to zero.
Are you still opposed to spending any rainy day funds?
Yes. As long as revenues are continuing to come up short of projections, until we see some, at least flattening of that, start using those rainy day funds now, you'll look like all these other states will run all the way through them, and these same legislators will be back before you know it saying, aw shucks, we have to raise taxes. And there is no need to do that. Let me just remind you, even on a very austere state budget, with billions of federal stimulus and a record road-breaking budget, which is not part of these numbers, added on, there will be a record amount of public spending in Indiana next year. But we need to be very, very careful if we care about taxes, if we care about being a positive environment for new jobs and growth on the other side of this recession. We need to not spend ourselves into bankruptcy where we have been not that long ago and other states are right now.
Governor, any comment on what's going on with the auto industry? Really bad news this week, and how might this impact the budget going forward?
Well, I guess it's obvious, but this morning's headlines about the auto companies failing to get out of their difficulty only means that this problem could get worse, perhaps significantly. So I don't know that anybody should be surprised. I said in December I was hopeful, but I was dubious that politicians and the government would impose the kind of major changes on either management or unions necessary to make those companies viable. 4 months later, I don't think they've made any progress, except the taxpayers are out billions of dollars. So we are probably headed for that sort of an adjustment, and it only is another reason to be extremely cautious about government spending here in Indiana.
Do you see any kind of repeat of 82 where the legislature had to come back because things came unwound so profoundly to the steel industry? And now
well, I wasn't here in, I mean, I wasn't here in 82. I'll just say things have already changed. That's really my message this morning. And we can see they have. And how I wish it were different. How I wish that the higher revenue projections were holding up. But duty in public life requires facing reality. And that's what I'm asking the legislature to do right now.
Governor,